Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Hallelujah. God is good and He is great. Should we pray? Okay. Lord, thank you for today and thank you for all that you've given us and thank you for the worship and the young worship team is absolutely brilliant. And Lord, I bless this these words I'm about to preach in your precious name. Amen. Righty, so today I'm going to be talking about Moses and the burning bush. It's a bit of a weird story, and I wasn't expecting to do it, but we decided to do a fire service, and then we based what we were going to preach around fire. And I got told, right, you're doing the burning bush. So I thought, okay. So I read it, and so quickly I'm just going to go through a brief thing, so we don't have to read the whole thing. But if you want to, you can read it. It's Exodus 3. It's just the whole chapter. So essentially, Moses is on Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, whichever one you want. Taking care of Jethro's sheep. Now Jethro, he's the priest of Midian. So that's quite a big thing, isn't it, really, let's be honest. So that's his father-in-law, so quite high expectations there. And if you go into different versions of reading it, they just say in different ways about how... I thought about it, and I thought it shows that God is very self-existent. He's eternal and unchangeable. He's incomprehensible for us. I mean, not for the angels, I mean, they see him every day. Hopefully we'll be up there seeing him as well, praying, worshipping him. And then we are wholly reliant on him. So it's going back to the first point of saying he will be with us. We are wholly reliant on him. We can't do anything unless we rely on him. The only reason we can go to heaven is we believe in him and if we rely on him. And a little bit of interestingness, if you want to look into the, go to the Hebrew. I didn't look into it too much. I don't speak Hebrew, obviously. But basically, I am is the English translation of God's personal name. And then God's personal name's translation is the Hebrew for YHWH. Now, that was before the Hebrew got the vowels in there. And then, as we know today, it spells Yahweh when you put the vowels in there. That's just a little bit of interesting knowledge if you wanted to know it, really. You didn't have to be listening to that bit. Okay. So then, I do this thing called Bible in a Year from the Source Bible Bible. And it's quite amazing because I was doing my reading. I'm a little bit behind. I started in January when you should have started in August. But I was reading it and it was, I think it was the Tuesday after we decided I was going to do the burning bush. And I was reading Mark 12 and it says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And I thought, well, that'd be quite nice because that's in the burning bush bit. So I thought I'd talk about that. And the fact that God isn't dead. He is alive and he will be alive. Now, there's a song I'm going to get Richard to play, but after Andrew's done his bit, because we're doing like a two-mini talk thing. It's from Newsboys' song. I don't know if you've ever heard of the band called Newsboys. They're a great Australian group. Chris knows a lot about them. Quite big fans of them. But anyway, God is not dead. Hallelujah. Do you not think that... That is amazing. God is not dead. He's been there and he is unchangeable. I'm not getting very excited, am I? I should be a little bit more. God is not dead. Hallelujah. Everyone, hallelujah. That was all right. Okay. So I'll do a little conclusion there then. So the first thing, God is always with us. And we know that because in Matthew 28 verse 20 it says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now my mum will be smiling about this because a long time ago someone gave her that exact verse and she's got it in like a little picture frame. It's on there, isn't it? Yeah, I thought so. So I thought I'd get that in there as well. He is always with us to the very end of the age. Now, I can't tell you when that age is or when that'll end up, but we just know that he is always there for us, very, very to the end. And so the second point, we need him. We can't just go about our lives being humans. We need him. We need to rely on him every day. We can't go through our daily lives and not be without him. We need him. And to finish off, God is not dead. He's surely alive. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I was in a rush today because I thought that I was doing this talk at 6 p.m., so bear in mind that I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this, so it's probably not going to be as long as Jesse's, just to let you know. Okay. Okay. So God presented himself through an angel as a burning bush. I was thinking what I could say about this, and I thought, well, why did God show himself through fire? Well, he showed himself through lots of different mediums, but why did he choose fire? And I came to the conclusion that God wanted to show his power to Moses during times of great oppression towards the Jewish people. And so I thought, well, what does fire symbolize? So I came up with a few things that I think fire symbolizes and what God wanted to show Moses. So, well, I think fire symbolizes power. God wanted to show his strength to Moses, especially when he was feeling weak. Also, a sign of power is invincibility. God also wanted to show that he was omnipotent. Fire also symbolizes destruction. God wanted to show him that that he had the power to destroy his enemies, the Egyptians. There's lots of examples of God's power of destruction, but I think the one that stands out the most is probably Noah's Ark, when he flooded the whole world, showed how great he was and how he could destroy the whole world if he wanted to. I think power also symbolizes, well, fire also symbolizes freedom. Fire starts can start anywhere. Fire is spontaneous. It just starts. And the spontaneous nature shows that it's not controlled by anything. It makes its own mind up. So in that sense, that shows God that if you believe in God, you have freedom. So that's the link there. And also, if you have freedom, the chains that hold you back through sin will be broken. Okay. Also, I also believe that fire shows light, symbolizes light. God shows God's light. God wanted to give Moses hope, because I think light shows hope. So God wanted to install hope in Moses when his people were facing times when people were facing great oppression. And finally, I just want to say we can't serve. Yeah, okay. We can't serve the Lord through your own power. I believe that to be a proper Christian, that you also need God's power with you. You can't do everything through your own power. I have a verse here, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll just read that for a minute. So, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the way to access God's power is to pray for the Holy Spirit to be within you. That's what's going to allow you to become a true Christian. That's what I believe. And yeah, so God doesn't force his power upon you. You have to ask for it. And I have another verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Just bear with me. Sorry, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, sorry. Well, what I can't really find it on my phone for some reason, but what he said, what the main idea was that that God only opens the door. God will only come in if you open the door for Him. So God will not force Himself upon you. He only gives you His power if you ask for it and you are willing to accept it. And yeah, so in conclusion, God showed His power through fire, and all the qualities that fire represents also shows the qualities that God represents. And to access God's power, you have to be willing to accept it, and you have to be willing to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you. And yeah, that's what I think He wanted to show to Moses during that time.
So at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit helped religious Jews from every country to hear God's words through the disciples speaking in the mother tongue. And the Holy Spirit still helps us through others' actions today, maybe not by putting fire on people's heads, but through people's words, actions, signs, and worship. For example, when I went to Soul Survivor last year, a Christian festival aimed at teenagers, while worshipping, the Holy Spirit was so strong that people were falling to the floor, screaming, crying, and laughing. And I felt so full of happiness and was shaking and crying at the sheer power of the Holy Spirit. Then I realized that God will always comfort me and protect me. So remember, you may not see the Holy Spirit, but He is always there. You just need to look and listen and believe, like we've learned from the previous topic, the voice. Thank you.
Yes, I am the all-powerful Nebuchadnezzar. Most people call me Nebuchadnezzar, but you know. But I like you guys. You guys seem lovely. So you can call me Nez. Do you like my cape? Look, I can do this. It's in two. It's a bit annoying. Got it from Asda. Two for one. I got a red one and a blue one for the different days. It gets a bit annoying on the steps. This gets stuck every day, but you know. But yes, no, I am King Nez. I am all powerful. I have lots of money. And with money, what can you buy? Gold, silver, bronze. So, as I am all powerful, I want everyone to know that I am really powerful. So, please welcome my amazing statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. Come on, give it a round of applause. Look at it. Look at it. Isn't it majestic in every way that I am? Yes, it's amazing. So, yes. So, with this powerful statue, I want everyone to bow down. Bow down to me. Bow down. I am all powerful. Yes, they're bowing down to me. Isn't this amazing? Ooh, there's people. What are you doing? What? Why? Why aren't you bowing down to me? Why?
Because there's one true God.
What? Never heard of this. What is this? What is this God? Right. There's only one thing to get rid of these people who aren't bowing down to me. That is, to the furnace. Right. Get up and go to the furnace. Come on. Yes. Come on. Go to the furnace over here. Yes. Yes. Get down. Oh, don't stand on my cloak. It was two for one.
It's not very hot in here.
Right. They will die. They will die.
It's not hot in here.
It's pretty cold,
it's
actually.
It's not burning. You're not dying. It's boring.
Right! Opens the door. Come on, come on, come on, follow me, back to me. Now, this has never happened before in all the years I've been king. Everyone has done what they've been told and always died in the furnace, like good people. Why didn't you die in the furnace?
Because of our God.
Tell me about this God. Okay, that was a bit of an interesting version of the King Nebuchadnezzar story. essentially, believe in God, and hopefully you won't die in a furnace, or hopefully you won't be put in a furnace. I don't know, there is one in Thornbury, so, you know. But essentially, the moral of the story is, don't try and be big and powerful like me, King Nez, because if you build a statue of whatever and try and get people to be all powerful, it's not really going to work. So in every day, go on like the three guys did, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, if their name's right. And just go on, keep praying, and try not to go and stray on the wrong path. That is the main thing, because I was trying to stray them off on the wrong path to follow me, but they kept what they knew was right, which was God. So, you know, keep doing that, and happy days.
We're going to be talking about Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. We don't have a PowerPoint, so you could listen or look in your Bibles. So it reads, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." So firstly, I was thinking, what does light mean? What does light symbolize in this verse? First thing that came to mind for me was hope, but it could also be joy, love, eternity, life. All these things are opposite to evil, which I think evil is represented by darkness in this verse. So this verse talks about the light overcoming darkness. It seems that light always wins and darkness cannot overcome the light. So if you imagine a room in complete darkness and a light is turned on, the whole room lights up. There's no darkness left. It doesn't slowly come back in and overpower the light, because light always overcomes darkness. And I think this represents how love always overcomes evil. Also, in the context of this verse, a lamp would be probably a small flame, but even though it's small, it's still powerful. It can still project enough light that the whole room is visible. There are probably even lights shining under the door, or maybe visible through the window, so just one small flame can project so much light so that everyone can see. Now Anna's going to talk a bit more.
But what does this verse mean for our lives as Christians? Well, firstly, the lamp gives out light, so it would be pointless to cover it. So similarly, don't hide your Christianity. The reason we call ourselves Christians is because Jesus is our saviour, but also because it's good news and something to be shared with others, so not a secret, we want everyone to know. So therefore, it's not something, being a Christian isn't something extra you do kind of at home or on a Sunday morning or something. It's something you need to be a Christian all the time in every room and shining with Jesus' love for everyone to see. Also, like light is opposite to darkness, good is opposite to evil. So this verse could suggest we do things out of love, be like Jesus in our lives. And finally, we need to shine to project God's love through our actions, through what we do. So like a beacon or a guide, leading people to Jesus and showing God's love.
So we've followed the theme of fire throughout the Bible, sometimes slightly out of sequence. And we've ended up with the idea that God's fire within us can also produce light within us as we shine out in this world. We're coming towards the last few minutes of our time here. But within the Sunday night youth group, we don't just talk at them and we don't just sing. It's really about helping people to find their own faith and draw their own strength from God and reflecting on what God's word says to us. So in a minute, the band are going to come up and we're going to sing our next two songs. But during that, I'd like to allow us all to have a time of reflection and concentrate on one final aspect of fire. Because also within the Bible talks about the refining fire of God's presence. And when you refine something, normally maybe something of precious metal, that refining fire burns off all of the dross and all of the impurities and all of the stuff that just gets in the way of that precious metal shining. And that's one of the works of God's Holy Spirit within us, the holy presence of God, refining us and making us pure and shining for him, so that nothing gets in the way of the light that Anna and Amy have just spoken about. So we did something like this on our Woodcroft weekend about a month ago. We enjoyed it so much that we thought that you would like to take part as well. So when these two songs are being sung, there's going to be a table up here with pieces of paper on and pens. Now, we all get messed up in our life. No matter how much time we spend with God, however close we walk with him, sometimes that dross just comes and clouds over our life. And it happens just by picking up the stuff of everyday life. So you don't have to be anything special to do this. You just have to recognize your humanness. There's going to be pieces of paper and a pen. And while we're singing the songs, if there's some piece of dross in your life, something you'd like God to refine away and get rid of from your life right here, right now, just write it on that piece of paper. And then myself and some of the young people, we're going to be outside with a half oil barrel of fire. So we're just going to encourage you through those songs to just come up, to write the stuff on the paper, bring it out through those doors that will be open, and just as a symbol of giving that stuff to God and asking him to refine that dross out of your life, we're going to give you the chance to burn it and have some real fire in this place. And then maybe come back in through the side door by the kitchen, just come back in and join in the worship. So that's what we're going to do now as a kind of reflection to end with. So if the band could come up, if those that are going to help me outside could head towards the door, that would be fantastic.